ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू घुसेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Hi, you're listening to episode 93 of Attention Plus with Arnab Ray, and I am Vikram Mohan. Your other favorite podcast from Foursquare will be back in a new season the next week. So get set for brand new episodes of Binge On and of course, What's Up Geeks. Head over to foursquare.net to subscribe. We also have very exciting news to share with you. This podcast, Attention Plus, has been nominated for in the podcast awards under the News and Politics category. And I've not seen the complete list of nominations, but at least from what I've seen, we seem to be the only podcast in the entire, only Desi podcast in that category. So excited about that. And I'm sure we'll share more about that very, very soon. And now, of course, let's get in your host, Arnab. Hey, Arnab.
Hello, Vikram.
Arnab, we'll come to the awards a little bit. I mean, there's not much to talk about at this moment. But I also had earlier this morning, I could hear Modi ji's voice from my neighbor's house. And considering that this podcast also comes out on Sundays, it's about your thoughts. We should have beaten him to the punch and at least registered Mann Ki Baat as a podcast. We would have got more than a few accidental listens, no?
Yes, absolutely. I wonder how many people listen to, I mean, what the stats of Mann Ki Baat would be actually. So
At least from what I overhear, people, I think it comes on Doordarshan. I have to admit, I have not listened or seen a single episode, but it probably is popular. I mean, Modi has a very big fan base. And
of course.
We should be happy that it's not out as a podcast, or I won't be surprised if it is. But if it is, it'll probably be then one of the top podcasts in India.
All right. So let's go on to the main topic. So we'll be talking about only one thing today, which is Kangana Ranaut, Sushant Singh Rajput, and the media circus that has dominated last week. So this is interesting to me because of, as all of you know, as somebody who's been deeply invested and who's deeply followed Bollywood throughout the ages and who's been passionate about Bollywood as it used to be, not so much the Bollywood that it has transformed into, which I find extremely disappointing in every sense. It has not reached the levels of aesthetic quality that and again, aesthetic quality was never really what I looked at Bollywood for, but it's not even that it's reached the aesthetic quality that of the international aesthetic standard that is so pervasive today with Netflix. You get to see it. I mean, there is growing up, there was a problem of choice. You didn't get to see a lot of Hollywood. You didn't get to see a lot of international cinema. That's not true. It's all available with a click of a mouse. So given that, I don't think we have reached. I mean, I was watching a French horror show, Marianne. It was like an universe away from the horror that Indian, the Indian makers have made in Netflix. It's almost embarrassing to put them and say, this is the example of French horror. This is the example of Indian horror. They just don't. And the Indian horror isn't also like Ramsey Brothers, which is quasi-serious, quasi-not serious. So that is a genre by itself. And in that genre, it is supreme. But these, but the horror that's coming out in collaboration with Blumhouse, for instance, that is not horror at all. That's like terrible horror. But you know, you see Marianne, and we're nowhere close to even we're not close to French horror. And I was
talking about production quality and budgets here, right? You're talking about the story.
I'm talking about the story. I'm talking about the way shots are composed, like very, very basic things. Of how shots are composed, and you know how you show blood and how you show luridness and how the camera moves and when do you do the jump scare. Even some of the very basic things of horror filmmaking are absolutely absent. The only thing that's there in Indian horror because of the politics is the heavy-handed bashing of a certain religion. But other than that, there is absolutely nothing that's unique in Indian horror, which is a pity given the kind of tradition that we have of horror. And I believe we can do so much better. So Again, I'm digressing because horror and Bollywood are two of my favorite topics, and when they come together, of course, I can be excused for going off on a tangent. But let's talk about the media circus, and let's talk about, you know, what's happened after Sushant Singh Rajput's death. So first of all, with respect to Sushant Singh Rajput's death, the thing that I wanted to say was that in terms of whether it was a suicide or not, it definitely should be investigated. Given that the fact that, you know, his assistant also committed suicide a few days ago, and given some of the, you know, again, within a few hours of his death, it was already decided that it was a suicide and he had committed suicide due to depression. At that point of time, nobody really pointed out that how we are coming to this conclusion so fast, given that there was no evidence to come to that conclusion. But now that the opposite camp that has come in and saying, no, it's something different, people are kind of saying, well, what is the evidence for that? The fact is there is no evidence for either of these conclusions. And as a matter of fact, given the past record of whether you look at Jia Khan and other suicides, which their families have persistently for over years have claimed were not suicides, there is definitely a case to be made for investigating something like this. And given the power players that are in play in Bollywood, there is no reason to presume that somebody who was coming up with a major, again, depression, anybody who, it's not a function of success. It's not that people who are unsuccessful get depression. Anybody, once they attain a level of success, it's no longer is, from a personal perspective, they don't see their success. Just like we don't see our privilege, we don't see our success after some time. It is always, success is always defined from an individual perspective as the next best thing. And so while from an external observer's perspective, which kind of brings us to almost a general theory of relativity for success, is that it's not evident to me because I am already in motion that I'm actually moving with respect to another frame of reference. It's only a person in that frame of reference who can see my motion and say, wow, this guy is moving so fast. I don't see that motion. So in that case, you know, you can say that he had a big release coming out. He had, again, he must have had his disappointments as anybody in the creative field has. But whether that warrants, you know, the step he took, again, with depression, you can never say. But you also cannot say the other thing, that his failure was so obvious and so final that this is a very natural thing for him to do. That's not also not true. So this definitely calls, there's a reason that this should be investigated. And principally in India, we all know, and we have seen this multiple times, that when high profile crimes, and I'm saying this a crime, considering that this is a suspected crime, is that within a few hours, a narrative is set with no evidence. A narrative is set, and then it becomes, and anybody who tries to challenge that narrative then gets challenged themselves. And nobody really talks about how the initial narrative was arrived at this fast. So there is significant ground for healthy skepticism about the suicide theory. It definitely needs to be investigated. And there are sufficiently mitigating reasons, especially the suicide committed by his assistant, ex-assistant, a few days ago, which make this definitely something worth looking into. So I think in terms of what Kangana is saying, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Now, of course, the problem with Kangana is that it's not what just that she's saying. She's saying a whole lot of other things. And before we start on that, let's we'll come to the real core crux of the problem. In terms of Kangana versus Kashyap, there is no doubt in my mind that the winner is Kangana. And in today's world of public discourse, it's very important who has the high ground. And in this case, Kangana has the high ground. And she has it because she's an extremely special and smart person. That's why. It's not so much that she's in the right, which again, none of us will ever know what the right and the wrong is. And it's, of course, depends on where you are. But it's just that she's an immensely intelligent person. And she's, at this point of time, running rings around Kashyap, who thinks he's very intelligent, but he's not. Kashyap and Swara Bhaskar and Tapsee Pannu and Sonam Kapoor and these people. And you know why she's being able to do it? Well, before she gets, and this is what I'm fascinated about, is the way she frames the question and the way she talks. She she uses the exact same rhetorical devices that this gang of wokes has been using for so long. And she takes the exact same thing and she turns it back straight on them. And she uses their language. And somebody could say, this is not Kangana. And this very well might not be Kangana. You know, Kangana is using, and this is the mark of a very, very high caliber debater. It doesn't come through the way she comes across, but the fact is she's choosing her words and she's choosing the angles of attack very, very carefully. And so you have to understand that no matter what you think of Kangana Ranaut as an actor and a person, and I personally am not a huge fan of her acting. I think she's an okay actor. She does some limited roles very well. She's not great in other roles. And also as a person, I have nothing to say about it. She basically represents anybody who's famous in Bollywood. She's no better or no worse than anybody else. But the fact is that Kangana Ranaut is an extraordinary individual. I think that someday in the future, when we have the benefit of perspective, we will look back and consider her to be somebody who was very special. And anybody who basically went through the Bhats and the Pancholis and came out alive at the other end with a big career, that automatically shows, you know, how smart you are, okay, to make it through both of them. And what she's doing, as I said, is that she's using the language of the wokes against them. So right now, for throughout these last few years, we have seen the Kashyap gang essentially using their artistic prerogative to raise the voice for the powerless against the powerful. So they have stood for Jawaharlal Nehru, they have stood for the CAA protests, they have stood, and all the time they've said that the very fact that these people are powerless, that is the reason why they're standing with them, that it is the prerogative of the artist to stand with the powerless. Of course, at that point of time, they forgot, which many people do forget, that there are certain domains, and that is the nature of their very own privilege, that their own privilege becomes transparent to them. Till one day somebody points it out to them. And what Kangana is doing in a very public way is pointing the privilege that they have out to them. So the problem with Kashyap, and if he has any sense, he should actually stop talking on this issue right now, because he's digging a bigger and bigger hole for himself. So what Kangana is making these people do is they're making these people stand on the side of the very, very powerful in Bollywood. When it comes to politics, these people are the first people who are crying out fascism and the fact that their voices are being stifled. But when it comes to handling fascism within their own industry, which they very well know, and that is the main thing, and this is really what embarrasses them when Kangana Ranaut comes across, you know, when she uses her rhetorical devices on them, that these people aren't actually afraid of Hindu fascism. They know they're not afraid of it because it really doesn't exist. But they are afraid of the fascism of the people who finance their movies in Bollywood. They know that they can speak with their checks. They don't have to do anything except sign the check over to somebody else. And that is why they come out and publicly and they side with the powerful. They side with the Karan Johars of the world. They side with the Khans of the world. Because they know very well that in the industry they are in, there is absolutely no transparency. There is absolutely no fairness. And there is absolutely no democracy. If they had courage, if they really were speaking for the powerless, then they would say that. I would then applaud them for actually having the courage to be artists, but they're not. They don't have any courage to speak to the people who actually matter. They can speak only when they have no personal, when they have no personal skin in the game. So you have Deepika Padukone showing up at this protest for JNU just before her movie comes out. You have her making a strong endorsement for Rahul Gandhi in 2011 when he is part of the ruling clique, when they are ruling. Again, remember, at that point of time, nobody said that Bollywood was sucking up to the ruling party. Nobody said that at that point of time. It was considered to be the most natural thing for Deepika Padukone to praise Rahul Gandhi at that point of time. It's only now that they have suddenly discovered that they're all George Clooney's. this is a very recent realization. And what Kangana Ranaut is showing them every time she speaks is their craven cowardice. She's pointing it out to them. And so what do they do in return? And what does Kashyap do? I saw his interview in NDTV and it was ridiculous. First of all, NDTV, you know, that guy who was interviewing him, I mean, what a softball interview that was. And these are the guys who make fun of Modi for giving softball interviews. And Kashyap didn't have the courage to take even one hard question in that interview. Okay, because they were not asked. That guy in NDTV who was interviewing him was so obviously on his side. He was almost desperately trying to be an assistant director for Anurag Kashyap. It was so obvious. I mean, talk about ass kissing. I mean, this was NDTV has plumbed the depths of journalistic depravity and they have sunk even lower if it was even possible. And if people say, but what about Republic? Of course, they are same. There is no difference between the two. So I'm saying it straight up. There's no difference between the two, between NDTV and Republic TV. Both of them are absolutely, absolutely at the bottom. And the only thing that's surprising is that they redefine the bottom every few times. So the moment I see that you can't get lower than this, they say, no, well, we definitely can. So what does he do when even nominally asked this question? The first thing he does is he attacks, believe it or not, he attacks Sushant Singh Rajput of all people. I don't know who's doing his PR, but please tell him that it is not a good idea to attack the victim, especially when you're representing the wokes. What he says is that Sushant Singh Rajput himself, when he had his career choices, he did not do Kashyap's movies and he went to do Sud Desi Love Story with Yash Raj, or he went to do Drive with Dharma. So what he's saying, essentially saying, is that Sushant Singh Rajput himself did not want to work with outsiders and himself wanted to work with industry insiders. Now, this very well may be true, but trying to impugn the character of somebody who's no longer with us is a low shot, I would say. Now, and the more important thing is it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if Sushant Singh was doing that. I think it attests to the terrible state of this industry that he has to do that. It doesn't matter if Sushant Singh Rajput knew the way the bread was buttered. I think this is not a question of individual personalities we're talking about, or whether this guy is great or that guy is good. We're talking about the general state of the industry. So what Sushant Singh Rajput did, actually, if he thinks through it, and after seeing some of his latest movies, I don't think he thinks anymore. And this coming from somebody who used to admire his movies at one point of time, is that he doesn't think the larger implications of what he's trying to say. And what the next thing he does, he basically attacks the, you know, whether Kangana Ranaut is a good person or not. You know, basically saying, you know, she's arrogant, you know, she doesn't give people credit. All of which may definitely be true, but it has nothing to do with the present problem. And this is exactly what Kangana is using against them. You know, she proudly takes, I saw an interview of her, where she was being asked these questions outside an airport. So somebody said, you know, you've taken credit for this, the movie, you've cut the role of this person, you've done that. So somebody like Kashyap would automatically try to deny that or try to divert the question. What she says is, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, definitely, I've done that. Because it has been done to me, I've done that. You know, if people feel that they're pissed off that their roles were cut, guess what? It's happened to me for years. So do what I did. That's all I'm going to tell you. So that's an honest answer. So she's not saying, again, she's not saying she's above the system. She's saying I do exactly what the system tells me to do. And Kashyap is basically attacking that part. What they're not understanding, again, is that they are all part of the system. So attacking somebody for displaying the behavior of the system basically enforces the point. And that's exactly how Kangana has got them. You know, on both sides, no matter what they say, they end up proving what Kangana Ranaut has said. And the problem is that these guys at this point of time should just shut up, because they damn themselves by their speech. And that's the great thing about somebody like Kangana, that she puts them in such a trap that, you know, no matter what they say, they're ultimately going to end up, you know, supporting what she said. So Kangana Ranaut is arrogant. She's self-centered. and she does not give any credit. But what she's saying is that that's true of pretty much everybody in Bollywood who has reached this kind of stage that I have. And if I could do it when I was on the receiving end, and there is no doubt that she has been on the receiving end. She came with nothing here. And as I said, she went through Bhats and Pancholis, which is quite an achievement. That, you know, this is the way to go. But what she is saying is she's protesting that entire system of which she is herself a part. Now, the second part of what Kashyap said, which I found outrageous, was that he said that there is nothing called deplatforming. Sure, there is, you know, some people might, the insiders and outsiders. He likes to call it insiders and outsiders, which is fine. He is free to choose his own semantic classification. But he's trying to say there's nobody who deplatforms. Ultimately, it matters on who makes money. And it doesn't matter because ultimately, paisa bolta hai. So, you know, those people who are not commercially viable will not get selected. So, and nobody can, you know, deplatform anyone with a phone call. Now, as we are seeing increasingly that this is objectively false. Today, A.R. Rahman came out and said that it happens to him also.
At the highest level.
At the highest level. Like, imagine an A.R. Rahman, okay, who's, again, a person who's never been controversial, who's never made any kind of... You know, even he comes out and says, well, no, this thing happens. And we are getting Anurag Kashyap and Tapsee Pannu and these people saying that, you know, these things don't happen. And Tapsee Pannu actually said these things happened to her. She said that this thing happened. I've lost my roles to, star kids. She said that. But, you know, but the basic thing is, you know, it's not a big deal or whatever. I don't know what the implication is. I don't know what the befitting reply over here is. But the fact is, and this is the problem. And there was another video I saw, which was about, and this one I found where it was very, social media is immensely cruel. And, there was this, I don't know if you saw, but there was this video of Swarabh Bhaskar dancing and, you know, Salman Khan, you know, so people were...
Right, yeah.
He's saying, you know, look at how desperately she's trying to get Salman Khan's attention. Now, I don't know what her intent was, honestly, but all I can say is that, and I'm no fan of Swarabh Bhaskar, but I'm saying that, you know, this lacks empathy on the part of people who are criticizing. And think of it, you know, she's a pretty talented actor. And even if she's trying to get his attention, can you think how terrible it must be to try to get the attention of this guy who has absolutely zero acting ability, who survived on nothing but star power and on several other forces. And that this guy ultimately calls the shots. And again, who said this? Kashyap's own brother said this. So NDTV does not, for instance, bring up what Kashyap's own brother said. They conveniently forget this and talk about kiss-ass interviews. If I had Kashyap in front of me, that would have been my first question. What do you have to say about your brother who said these things about deplatforming? And how are you saying that there is nothing called deplatforming when your own brother has said something which is different? Are you calling your own brother a liar over here? Is that what you're telling us then? So he is saying there is no deplatforming. And here's the thing. The only, and I cannot take that person's name, there's only one major Bollywood celebrity who I have personally known. And that person told me that, yes, long time ago when we were friends, yes, my career, that person's career, and this is a big, big name. You know, if I tell the name, it's recognizable to anyone. It's not a... My career was ruined by this one guy who made a phone call. And people would not... I just lost a set of projects based on one person's phone call. So if somebody tells you that this phone call and this deplatforming doesn't happen, that person is lying straight up. There's no two ways about it. It's a barefaced lie. And why does this happen? This happens because there is a wide band of people who are interchangeable, and it doesn't affect the financial viability of the project. So this thing that Kashyap and his friends are saying is actually a false flag. Yes, it is true that ultimately paisa bolta hai. But paisa jab bolta hai, if you have Salman Khan on the ticket or a Shah Rukh Khan on the ticket or a Khan on or a Kumar on the ticket or a Hrithik Roshan on the ticket, there are a lot of people around that person who are dispensable, who you could replace one part can be replaced by another part. One supplier can be replaced with another supplier without any loss of revenue. This wide band of people are those who are susceptible to the phone call. Given that there is really no objective criteria why you should prefer one over the other, given that acting or talent does not matter in this industry, it is then that the telephone call becomes important. And who makes these telephone calls? These telephone calls are made by people because Bollywood ultimately works on a system of favors. It works on a system of favors. If any of you have ever read Godfather, the first sequence of Godfather is essentially a set of people coming to the Don because they had stuff that they needed to get done. And the way the Godfather was evaluating them was, did you help me when I needed help? So there was one person who comes to them, the baker, and he hasn't helped the Godfather. He will help the Godfather. It's not the baker. It was the guy who was the guy who ran a mortuary. So he was the guy who did not help. He later helped him when Sonny Corleone dies, and you know, he basically stitches him up beautifully. So he comes in and he asks the Godfather for the favor, and you know, he himself knows that he hasn't done a favor to the Godfather, and you know, because he didn't want to be involved with the mafia. So he knows what happens if you ask for a favor. So he has never asked for a favor, he had never done them a favor, but then he has to come to them for something. I've forgotten what it was. It's a long time ago that I read it. And then he brings it up very subtly. You know, Don Corleone brings it up, you know, that you know, you've never come to me. Basically saying, you've never taken my phone call, so why should I help you? But then he does. You know, he does help him. And then later on, he repays that. So the point is, the reason why these phone calls matter is that it's because you have, most people have taken favors from other people at some point of time. Everybody passes through a lean phase. There was a time when Amitabh Bachchan, the greatest actor in terms of the greatest star attraction ever, even he has had years where his career was almost gone, and he had to go to Yash Chopra to save himself from bankruptcy, which is how Mohabbat happened. So even he has to call in favors. So nobody is above favors in this industry. And it's all about this interlinked network of favors and favored, which is why the telephone call makes so much sense, and which is why they do not want to allow anybody from outside to come in. Because whenever somebody comes into this town, there will be somebody who will lose an opportunity, and they are afraid that they might be held responsible, that somebody will come and say, I did a favor for you, and then you went and you took a Sushant Singh Rajput, or you took a Kangana. I mean, what have they done for you? When we talk about star kids, I mean, why do people take star kids? It's not because people are interested to see, you know, how Abhishek Bachchan is. Okay, that novelty of Abhishek Bachchan as Amitabh Bachchan's son, it wore out with Refugee. The fact that he was repeatedly cast was because film houses knew that if they give Abhishek Bachchan a chance, they get a shot at getting Amitabh Bachchan at some point of time for another production. That is the reason. That is the reason he gets the call. Till, of course, there comes a time when that interchangeability no longer matters. It is now no longer possible to cast an Uday Chopra, for instance. Even though he comes with the Yash Raj movie, he's just too much of a liability. At which point of time, they crash and burn. But till that happens, there's obviously a balancing that is going on. I mean, you expect somebody like Kashyap to make this point, not someone like me. But it's fairly obvious. And even the limited knowledge that I have about the industry, I can tell you this is exactly what happens. It's this system of calling in favors. And this, by the way, is not only confined to Bollywood. It works in any industry. This is why people network. But it specifically works in a very high-risk industry like the film industry, which is not organized, which doesn't have human resources, which doesn't have offices which look at whether hiring is being done fairly. There is no corporate oversight. You know, this is the kind of place where things work on interpersonal relationships. No matter what you say with Dharma or Yash Raj, they look like companies, but they're not. Dharma is Karan Johar's living room. Yash Raj is Yash Chopra's, their family's backyard. So these companies are only companies in name. They're not like 20th Century Fox, or they're not like MGM. They're not run like that. They're run by Aditya Chopra and Karan Johar and all these people. They're run by their personal likes, dislikes, and their own personal perceptions of people. So obviously, these are not run like corporate entities. So that is one of the principal problems of the Bollywood movie industry, that it's still dominated by personalities who call the shots. It's been very obvious for ages now that most movie stars do not like to go to Karan Johar's show. They're visibly uncomfortable there. They're visibly uncomfortable, and Karan Johar has that kind of almost, you know, juvenile ragging that he does, which might be attractive to people. And I will accept that it was fun for a while just to see them squirm. But that kind of, you know, almost this kind of enjoyment that he comes in putting them on the spot, it's very obvious that many people don't enjoy it. And sometimes he's doing it with their, you know, exes, people with whom, you know, they're going through a rough patch with. So you'll bring that up. You know, and these people have no option. They have to take it because it's coming from Karan Johar. And why do they have to take it? Why do some of the biggest names in the Hindi movie industry have to take it from Karan Johar? Because they know that his phone call counts. I mean, they're not stupid. They're not coming to debase themselves in front of national television just for the sake, where they know very well what's going to happen. Why do they even come there? It's the fear that this man commands. It is nothing but fear. And I'm going to come to that. So that is on what the entire movie industry works on. It works on fear.
So, Arnab, where does something like, let's say, a more corporate structure like UTV or something come in? Do you see a difference do you perceive a difference there?
No, it doesn't happen, because even there, the stars so much call the, it's a balance between the director and producer stars, the Yash Rajas and the Dharmas, and the stars as in the Bachchans. And so that part doesn't change, right? That part doesn't change.
Maybe a Karan Johar's call to UTV would still matter.
Yes, because everybody knows there is today, if UTV wants to get people in the Karan Johar camp, they need to go through Karan Johar. There's a camp. They have certain people who they can call upon at any point of time. And it's, if you piss off somebody, then you basically threaten that entire network. So even if somebody in Karan Johar's network wants to break ranks and work with, let's say, a UTV, then that person will be afraid of Karan Johar. He'll have to balance. Should I go and take this opportunity with UTV, or should I risk getting Karan Johar on my, you know, on my case? So they have to work. And so obviously this kind of thing creates stress. So this is happening because of, and it's standard practice for stars to call. So this is just from the director side, from stars to get actors removed from movies because they are dominating the scenes that they are in. So they feel that, you know, the shot is being shot. This other guy is just taking away all the attention because he has the best lines. I mean, there are very public blow-ups between Sridevi and between Sridevi and Saroj Khan, because at one point of time, Sridevi felt that Saroj Khan was giving the best steps to Madhuri Dixit. So, I mean, that's publicly well known, this whole thing. So at a much lower level, at a much more insidious level, the phone call is that the star says, I don't want to work with this guy because this guy is so good. So if you're very good, you also run the risk of outshining the star. If the actress thinks that some other heroine is getting the better shots, she will just cut those shots at the end. So this is the deplatforming that people are talking about. This is what, if anything, which has come out with Sushant Singh Rajput's death. The fact that these things have been happening for ages and they have been assumed to be normal. And what is even worse is that somebody like Anurag Kashyap, who, if you read him during his Passion for Cinema days, he and his band of coteries, his coterie and his fanboys, their main thing was how genuine talent is deplatformed by Bollywood. That was every post that they wrote. Absolutely, essentially, yes. Came down to this. Now, since they are inside the system, they're saying this thing doesn't even happen. Suddenly, all of them have realized this thing has never happened before. At that point of time, they said only this happens. So what changed? The only thing that's changed is Kashyap now works with Karan Johar. Karan Johar now acts in his movies. Kashyap collaborates with Karan Johar. Because he's collaborating, Netflix is picking up his all the stuff that he's doing. So, are yaar bhai, I totally understand. You see, I am unlike other wokes. I do not hold ideological purity up. I understand ki sabko paisa banana hai bhaiya. And even somebody like Kashyap, they need to make movies. Tapsee Pannu needs to act in movies. So it's obviously totally cool for you to be malleable. To say, okay, dekho bhai, main kuch keh nahi sakta Karan Johar. I understand that. I don't deny the humanity of Kashyap at all. The problem is that he does. He points to people and say, ye dalla hai, ye wo hai. He does not understand that there are other people who often sometimes cannot say what they want because they too have a mouth to feed. Or they too have their own personal ambitions to attain. No, at that point of time, he will take the high ground. He and his gang will take the high ground. But when it comes to them, that's when, of course, I will expect that you guys then come out as whistleblowers. But no, what do you do is you then attack the whistleblower. At that point of time, you forget all the gyan that you have been peddling to everybody for so long. So, and the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which is possibly a very, very important thing. So, Shekhar Gupta wrote an article in print about his experiences in hosting award shows. And many of the things there are not new, but yeah, he took some names, which is fairly, I would say, bold, given that nobody likes to take names. But yeah, stories like that, I've heard myself from the very limited contacts that I've had in Bollywood. And he talks about these things. He talks about entire groups of people boycotting awards because one of them did not get an award. Now, can you imagine if they are this immature, what they would do? So they're doing this for events organized by big media houses on whom they actually do depend on when they have to peddle their movies. Now, can you imagine how they would react and how would they behave with an outsider with zero power who's trying to break into the movie industry? Given this is the way they behave with somebody who's representing a media group. Can you even imagine? And this is unfortunately endemic to the way India's celebrity culture works. In India's celebrity culture, it is assumed that when you are nobody, that you have to be humiliated, that you have to take ritual humiliation. And when you become famous, you dish out that humiliation to somebody else. That's the mark that you have arrived, which is exactly what perhaps what Kangana does. And she's not apologetic about it. So, and I understand her from both points. So there are two ways you can deal with things. You can either take the high ground and say, okay, I had a tough time getting to where I am. I will try to make it easier for the next person. I will deal with things with empathy. And then the other thing is that nobody gave me a shit, I will give nobody a shit. So I will pay forward the humiliation that I receive, which is the way most people do it, actually. So this is the fundamental problem I have seen. Again, I haven't seen so much the movie industry, but I've definitely seen the book world. And of course, it's a limited, much reduced, but it's the exact same thing of people humiliating other people. So authors who sell a lot, they will then make unreasonable demands on publishers. Publishers then will turn around and humiliate authors who don't sell that amount. That is exactly what happens. It's a pyramid of humiliation. Now, that guy who's making humiliating demands of the publisher, when that guy was struggling, the opposite thing happened to him. That's why he decides that it's perfectly fine for me to do this. It's no different. And I remember that once I was in a Litfest and I was again these things, I never even considered that there's some things which I have to kind of negotiate beforehand. But I was put up in a hotel which was like, none of the major authors were put up in the hotel. It's me and a bunch of poets and the people who were running the whole thing, like sound people, were put up in the hotel. And the other authors were put up in the 5-star major hotel in which this whole thing was happening. And included among them was one guy who hadn't even published his novel, but his dad was a very powerful politician. And I remember one of the organizers later on, sometimes later, who's not really, told me, look, boss, you know, these things are all arranged beforehand. I mean, when they ask you to come, you should all negotiate these things beforehand. Now, I didn't know that to be treated like everybody else was a negotiating thing. But later on, I learned that, you know, there are so many things that people negotiate. For instance, depending on how high you are, you say, look, I need a Mercedes to pick me up at the airport. Okay, so they will have a Mercedes pick you up at the airport, and that guy will stay inside the airport for, you know, taking calls, so that he can do it. Because that kind of gives the guy a hard-on, the fact that he's making this Mercedes wait and everything. So this is the way, and the fact is, people, this is where the whole thing is so toxic. People actually appreciate that. That is how that person becomes famous. He becomes a famous, the bigger a jerk he is, the more famous he is. Because if he can't project the fact that he is famous, then how come you're famous? That down-to-earth fame thing is an absolute oxymoron in India celebrity circles. There is no down-to-earth celebrity. If you're down-to-earth, then there's a reason why you're down-to-earth, people will think. You're down-to-earth because there's something wrong with you. You're obviously not as big a success, otherwise, why would you be down-to-earth? I've seen in literary fests, you know, people who will be like 5 minutes outside the venue and they will refuse to come unless you send the car to them. I have seen stars in terms of the literary circle, you know, when they have their event, they will sit inside their Mercedes car. If the event starts at 8, they will not go there 1 minute before 8. They will start at 8:05 walking from the car so that they are late and that they come in 10 minutes later when the crowd is full, and they will make people wait. Because if you cannot, as I think I said this in Sultan of Delhi somewhere, when Arjun Bhatia meets one of the villains, is that if I can't waste your time, then how am I great? I'll have to take something from you, na? So the only thing I can take from you is your time, because time is money. That's how I get my value. And so this ritual humiliation that is heaped on people, you know, it gets to people like Kangana. I'm pretty sure that, you know, what she had to go through would have broken most people, would have absolutely broken most people. But she became stronger for it. You know, she didn't react to it with empathy. That's true. So she dishes whatever she got back at other people now. But that doesn't take away from the fundamental nature of the industry that she is in. At least she's not supporting it. Kashyap and these guys are. And that's what makes it so disappointing, that a person, and the reason why I'm picking on Anurag Kashyap is because I expected better from him. As somebody who's genuinely loved his movies, as somebody who's genuinely thought that, okay, here's this guy who kind of grew up as a scriptwriter, as a very good scriptwriter, as somebody who actually did say some things which resonated with me at one point of time. And who is definitely a person of some ability. He's made very good movies. He's made some, you know, misfires also, but that's perfectly fine. I mean, unless, and of course, my tastes are not the gold standard, right, of what is right or what is wrong. So people like his other movies, but I have been disappointed with it. But it's always been a mixed bag. But whenever I've liked something, I've, like Gangs of Wasseypur, I've always been, I mean, I wrote a big review at that point of time where I said, like, people were comparing Gangs of Wasseypur to Godfather. It's not Godfather, actually. It's the more difficult movie. It's Goodfellas that it should be compared favorably to. Because there are two kinds of mafia movies. The Godfather kind of mafia movies are where the characters are larger than life, where you're looking at essentially Greek hero archetypes. in Mafia. This is more the kind of book that, let's say, Sultan of Delhi is. We're looking at people who represent big emotions. What Gangs of Wasseypur is very different. It's Goodfellas. Because Goodfellas, what you're showing is that the banality of these mafia people, that they're so pathetic. They're so pathetic, stupid, and yet they manage to do what they do because they're so stupid sometimes they don't even understand the risk that they are in. And they're funny in many ways. They're beta tumse na ho payega and all of these things. They're not playing, they're not being of mafia figures as mythical creatures who are like omnipotent and all powerful. They're bringing them as very pathetic, really small-minded people who are very, very ordinary, but who just manage to stumble onto success because they're sometimes not even aware of the dangers and because they have almost zero sense of morality. So this was a much more human look in which Goodfellas was, which is why Goodfellas is such a masterpiece. And I felt that, you know, somebody who was kind of, you know, hitting the best of Scorsese was obviously, a great talent. I expected so much more from him. And not only, you know, has his filmmaking sharply deteriorated to the say that, and I say that he's basically now the sum of a series which is converging to Ram Gopal Verma at this point of time. It's also the public pronouncements. It was not just a movie. He was supposed to represent the insider, the learned insider breaking into this world of Karan Johar's and not only making good movies, but also of trying to make things a little bit more fair and equitable for the next person. It was an expectant for, I expected him more than anybody else to have that empathy for others, which he doesn't. I now see that he doesn't. There is no distinction between him and Kangana, with the only difference is that Kangana isn't actually also pretending to have any empathy, but he is. He is still trying to be that person. He's still trying to use the language of the outsider while being entirely complicit in the worst of what Bollywood has always been. And this is the point of disappointment. You expect more from somebody like Anurag Kashyap because he's a very intelligent man. He's a supremely talented individual. And when he does, there's some people who have to, you know, who have to play the game to survive. Again, as somebody who doesn't want to be like a woke and ask for ideological purity, I totally understand that all of us are human beings. I am a human being. I have things with places where I wouldn't go to, because not because I know that I shouldn't, but because I'm afraid. Everybody is afraid, but I'm not going to pretend to be a crusader. But he is. He is, unfortunately, he and his ilk do pretend to be that. And when the real thing comes, when all he needs to do is support his brother, all he needs to do is say, yes, this thing happens. I don't know if this happened to Sushant, but definitely there should be investigation. He's not saying there should not be an investigation, to be fair. But he's trying to deny the fact that there is deplatforming. He definitely says there's nothing called deplatforming. Yes, you know, some people get opportunities, but some people don't. But it's not that somebody makes a call and said, don't take this person, which I know to be objectively untrue. I know of a very big Bollywood name who told me that, yeah, that definitely happens. So again, I do hope that Sushant Singh Rajput's death is investigated. That's a totally different thing, though, the criminality, quote unquote. And I believe that there's been a strong narrative which has already been pushed that it was a suicide, when there's really not been much in terms of evidence provided that it has been a suicide. And again, Jia Khan's parents have been repeatedly coming on television. This is not the first time they've been saying this. They've been saying this for years, that, you know, they found that the Mumbai police was not cooperating with them, and they have been running from pillar to post. It's a very sad thing to see see parents, you know, having to do this for somebody, for her daughter who's deceased. I mean, as a father myself, it just breaks my heart to see that. And, you know, there needs to be justice. I mean, there needs to be, this is not just an isolated incident. It happened with one. I mean, now you can see that there's a pattern that happens to people who just don't fit in. And while it could be, again, the whole point that it's not, as some people are saying, it's sensationalizing a suicide for TRPs. I mean, that is there, of course. When you have news anchors saying that, you know, we are getting a spirit to talk to the, you know, the ghost of Sushant Singh Rajput, obviously a line has been crossed, as if the line hasn't already been crossed multiple times, in terms of the absolute shamelessness to which TV channels will go to in order to get eyeballs, where nothing is holy, absolutely nothing is holy, just for, you know, a viewership. So that is, you know, you can flog that dog so many times, to use a tired old metaphor. You know, so yeah, it's there, but it's nothing new. But the fact is, there is it, and some of Arnab Goswami is shouting at Kunika and all of that. Of course, that's part of the absolute, you know, the terrible theater, the macabre theater that Republic TV is now. But the fact is that there is something to be said for the suspicious circumstances of Sushant Singh's death. It is not sensationalism or knee-jerk activism to ask for an investigation to point out that there are a lot of questions that remain unanswered. And if the response, as I see on Twitter, is, well, if you were so concerned about Sushant Singh Rajput, why didn't you go and see Son Chiria? Well, of course not. There's no... Why? Of course I didn't go to see Son Chiria because I didn't know what was going on. It is not a question of Sushant Singh fans. It is a question of a number of people who are empathizing with him, not because they were huge fans of Sushant Singh Rajput. If they were, they would have definitely gone to seeing Son Chiria. But they are empathizing with him because they find, in all of us have faced, in some form or the other, some sort of humiliation by somebody powerful. So when they see their own story, they obviously feel a level of empathy. They want justice. It's not a question of Sushant Singh Rajput. It could have been somebody else. But the fact that they find this young, you know, talented person, you know, at the height of his career, having to do this, it doesn't really matter who he was. It what his death represents that has found resonance with so many people. To kind of turn upon people and say, well, if you really were such big fans of Sushant Singh Rajput, you should have watched his movies. Now that you're doing this, this is performative. That is not true. Of course not. There is no connection between the two. One is Sushant Singh's own fan base. And second is people empathizing or feeling one with what happened to him and asking for justice from people. And this is not, again, the first time this has happened. I think this has kind of been the straw that breaks the camel's back, because there is an obviously someone who is pretty successful by any standard. Okay. If this can happen to him, then what does it mean for people who have like a 5-minute role out of focus in some movie? I mean, what must be going through their minds? What is happening to them? If somebody like Sushant Singh Rajput has to go through this, then there are many, many questions which Kangana has brought up, which rather than answer, Anurag Kashyap decided to broadly tar Kangana with. You know, why these blind items that have consistently been put against Sushant Singh Rajput repeatedly? He has been targeted with these blind items more than anybody else. Why do these blind items come up? And if you're trying to tell me that there is nothing, there's no professional rivalry behind this, that there is nothing going on, well, that doesn't seem logical to me. So these are questions that definitely need to be investigated. Now, does this link to his death? Maybe not. But does this link to illicit links between the media and certain interests within Bollywood? Yes, definitely. Because it brings me back to the fundamental point. In an age, you see, in the 1980s and in the 1990s, the media had a very, very upper hand with dealing with stars, because ultimately the gossip magazines were the only interface to the fan base that stars had. Of course, people like Amitabh Bachchan, who went on a self-imposed ban on star magazines after the, you know, in the 80s, you know, he had the stature and the brand equity to be able to do that because he didn't need the media at that time. Later on, of course, when his career started tanking, he had to go back to the media at that point of time. Over the years, it has happened that with Twitter and with 24/7 news channels and with powerful PR agencies, the stars actually don't need the old traditional media anymore. So what has happened is that while the media used to be very powerful, the power equations has turned. So this is why, you know, things like blind items and stuff attain so much importance, because there is an element of quid pro quo there. That is the one that needs to be investigated. Why would there be blind items targeting one person? Because as Shekhar Gupta points out, as I think there was in one of Madhur Bhandarkar's movies. What was his first movie, Vikram?
The Chandni Bar, you mean?
No, not Chandni, but the one after that. The one which had the song Kuama Doob Jaun.
We had Chandni Bar, then we had Satta or something like that. With then there was Page 3.
Okay. So in Page 3, I think there was a sequence where a star is refusing to go to a movie if I remember correctly, refusing to go to a movie award show unless he gets an award or something. So this has always been the case that stars have, because the fact that most of these media houses nowadays make their money from events. They make their events through conclaves and award shows, which makes them absolutely dependent on a few big name stars. If a certain big name star and their coterie decide to boycott, and as Shekhar Gupta's article shows that they very well do that, they boycott all the events of a particular media house, then that media house runs a huge financial loss, which is why the unholy nexus between media houses and these power players in Bollywood is definitely something which is to be investigated. Now, I can't tell you how it should be investigated, and possibly it will never will. But the very fact that Kangana Ranaut is calling that out, that is the important thing. Maybe we will never find out what happened, when, and who pulled the strings. But the fact that somebody like her, somebody at her position in the industry, is saying these things gives it that credibility. Otherwise, these things are always mentioned by people who have been hard done by the industry, who are not at the top of their career. So they can all be dismissed as, you know, people who are pissed off, people who have a chip on their shoulders. You can always dismiss these people. You can always dismiss, you know, Jia Khan's parents. You can always dismiss these people don't have any power. But Kangana Ranaut does have power. So Anurag Kashyap should actually be saying thank you to Kangana Ranaut. She's actually doing what he claims that people should do, which is speak truth to power. She's actually speaking truth to power. She's actually speaking truth to the most powerful people in the movie industry while being in the movie industry herself. So I think she's living up to the highest ideals of Anurag Kashyap, except that Anurag Kashyap doesn't seem to think so at this point of time. So that's it for today's show.
Well, I did want to ask you about something else that not just you, but all of us have been very consumed by. And you did tweet about it, which is Indian matchmaking. How far along have you gone beyond two episodes? Are you planning to binge watch it this weekend?
I don't know. I'll see what I do.
You did finish two episodes as far as I've seen in your tweet. Okay. I'm done with it, and yeah, I actually enjoyed it. And as somebody who loved Rakhi Ka Swayamvar, I can't wait for more of this. So I'll wait for your review of this, maybe as you keep watching it. Well, I guess so. That's our podcast for today, and we cannot go further without my regular reminder about Arnab's Patreon page. So do consider heading over to patreon.com/greatbong to show your support for this podcast and everything else that Arnab puts out, like his blog and his tweets. And man, those two photos, those two screen grabs from the show, they had me in splits this morning. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye.